Okay, our scoreboard update now. Clarkie, Bangladesh v Sri Lanka second test. Who cares, you might say, but there's been a bizarre scoreline overnight. So have a go at this. Bangladesh won the toss and chose to bat. They were 5 for 24, and they finished the day 5 for 277.
Good partnership.
So that's an outstanding partnership between Rahim, Mushfiqur Rahim, and Litton Das.
That's called getting to lunch, the wicket drying out.
So they've put on conditions. What have they put on there? 253 unbeaten for the sixth wicket.
It's a good effort, that. That's saviour for Bangladesh. Where's this played?
This is in Mirpur, so in Bangladesh. Yeah, okay. And Bangladesh were all over him in the first test, and Sri Lanka held on for a draw.
Okay.
So the Sri Lankans heading into our series against them, which is very soon.
Struggling to beat Bangladesh.
They're struggling to beat Bangladesh.
It's not going to be a very good series against Australia, I wouldn't have thought.
Well, you'd want to hope so.
Australia,
well, for our sake.
We flog them.
They should be flogging them.
Yep.
Based on what we're seeing here. But outstanding performance. 5 for 24 and you finish 5 for 277 at stumps.
Yep. I know what 5 for 24 feels like. That's for sure.
9 for 26, anyone?
Oh, yeah, that wasn't fun. All out 47.
Just tell me.
I was a part of all out 60, I was 65 or something as well.
No, it's 60 at Trent Bridge. But the 47, so when you're 9 for 26.
No, you don't want to know what I'm thinking. You actually don't want to know. I can't.
Nathan Lyon saved you, didn't he?
I can't describe it without swearing. Nathan Lyon was our highest scorer with 14. Mate, I've never cheered so many runs in my life.
So does the message come out like just try and get to 80?
But you didn't get time.
Try and get to 90.
We didn't get time to say, you didn't get time to swear. You didn't get time to say a word. It was like not a dream, but it was like the world's worst nightmare. As you blinked, somebody else walked back into the change room, took their, I was like, hang on. There hasn't been enough time for you to get out to the pitch. How are you back here already? So when I got out, I'm like taking my gear off. And by the time I got my gear off, six other blokes had got out as well.
Mate, I remember one day.
We were sharing equipment.
We were playing the Dragons and we're getting hammered. And it was 40-something. Anyhow, we're behind the line and no one's saying anything. And I was captain. I'm like, I'm not saying anything here. Yeah. Like, what do you say? A couple of minutes to go. And someone piped up and said, don't let them get to 50. I went, shut up.
Mate.
I just looked at it. I can't even remember. I just looked at him and said, are you serious? Don't let them get to 50. Mate, we've let them get to 44. Yeah, you might as well give up.
It's like the press conference afterwards. Yeah. You go and sit in the press conference.
When it's 16-6, don't let them get to 20. Yeah, that's all right.
Is this a Cogra or Wollongong?
Cogra.
Ooh, oh, it would have been the actual the Dragons before they were the...
Yeah, it was, Burgess, yeah. So. Yeah, Chock and
Blacklock. Oh, that's when
they're doing backflips.
Yeah, somersaults and backflips. It's like the press conference. You sit down, the journalist says, well, how do you explain that? Mate, you do me a favour, because I can't explain it. Trust me, training yesterday was not about trying to edge every board to the keeper. We didn't plan on this. What are you going to say to the players? There's nothing I can say. This is a nightmare. I'm going to go to sleep and wake up tomorrow and act like it never happened.
What mean things were the Dragons fans saying to you, Loz?
Oh, you can only imagine, you know? You can only
imagine. I can just imagine your brain watching those two doing somersaults and backflips as well.
Mate,
slapping the face.
Oh, mate, it was filthy.
Mundine would have been going, why is this guy in Origin? Should be me.
Filthy.
Told you daily I should be the number six.
Mate, I'm just trying to think who said it. One of the boys. And I just stared at him and said, mate, just shut up.
Yeah.
Just shut up.
Yeah. Don't let him get to 50. What do you think we're out here doing?
That's under 10.
I love that right because you hear that in any grade of footy. Because no one happens in first grade as the NRL.
Grade too.
Oh, Denny Wilder from Nine's next. Oh, I hope Denny was covering that game.
Would have been
he
for
probably
sure.
Would have been. Yeah, would, have been.
Would have been spruiking Chock for sure, Wilder.
He would have been after a scoop then.
Morning, Denny.
Morning, Jim. Yeah, old leg, glory.
Do you remember that game at all, Denny? Did you cover that?
I probably was there. Yeah. Mate. Yeah, I was probably low. Yeah, Chock would have been giving it to you.
Oh, mate, I was burning too.
Yeah.
And every time they just kept on making a break and he was backflipping and Nathan Blacklock would come over and he'd do a backflip. I was just standing there. So I was burning.
Loz, I've got more bad news for you. I was stuck in Bulldog Alley for most of last week on a stakeout.
Yeah.
With all the dramas, right? And I popped a bit of a spray from Paul Vaughan, as it's been well documented.
Yeah.
But... every second person, they'd be asking, oh, okay, who's going to be the new coach? Who, you know, they'd be hammering you, like all the punters walking past. but the other thing was, mate, can you tell Laurie to stop tipping my horse off? Mate, can you tell Laurie to stop giving out tips? It's costing me a fortune. Yeah. So that's the message from the punters, Laurie. I'm sorry, but they wanted me to tell you.
Yeah, no, it's
quite consistent now.
You cop it.
Yeah, you know what, Denny? I love honest feedback. Oh. I'll certainly get plenty of that on
this
program.
Get it on this show, that's for sure.
This is a real problem that even our regular guests on our show are copying abuse for your selections.
Stop blaming me.
No, they're blaming you.
Yeah, so, mate, can you just, look, you're part of that show. Can you tell Laurie it's costing me money?
Don't tip my horse.
All right, I'll take that into account next time.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, Laurie.
No, you're all right, mate.
Denny, Tom Trbojevic, so just about the worst possible news?
Yeah, it is. Look, he saw two specialists yesterday. There is further damage to the shoulder than they initially thought, and he's been told surgery straight away. It'll be Thursday. And you just got a feel for the young bloke. He's been through such a range of injuries. He's, you know, last year he was the best player on the planet. And, you know, he's just not going to get the chance to try and do that again this year. He's taken this really hard because he put in a lot of sacrifices to get that hammy right. And he got it. He's been having it really good all of last year, obviously. And he had the knee issue and now this. He just feels like he can't take a trick, you know, and it's difficult for him. And because he knows a lot of Manly's season depends on him, and he feels that pressure, and he feels that expectation, and he feels that burden. And Tom, you guys would know him, and he's the world's nicest bloke, and probably alongside his brother Jake, and he takes this personally, and he feels like he's let people down. And, you know, the remarkable thing about this injury is that I think it was a dead play when he was going for the ball too. It was a knock on and he was still trying his guts out to try and help his team out. And he did that. And yeah, it's a really tough blow. And I think, you know, a lot of, not just Manly fans, a lot of fans out there would be really feeling for Tom today.
Yeah, no doubt. Buddy, what about the Bulldogs? Where are they at with their new head coach?
Well, at least I'm not in that alley copping it.
Not the first time you've copped it.
Mate, look, I think, well, Gus has been crooked, so I don't think there's been a lot of progress in that regard, but he has come out and said an experienced coach is essential. There aren't that many experienced coaches out there who really fit the bill. I don't think Canterbury are going to rush this decision. They've got Mick Potter in there right now. They didn't really play very well last week. I think this season's virtually a write-off now. And I think they're going to take their time in appointing the next coach, because it's got to be a coach who can ride out probably the next 18 months while Gus works on their salary cap, because they panic bought players. They bought players who haven't worked. And unfortunately for Dogs fans, they're facing that period of time where they're going to have to wait and watch and see the team struggle. Yes, next year will be better with Reid Marnie and Billy Kickow coming. But it's still going to be tough, and they still haven't settled on a spine anywhere near that. And they have to try and re-sign Matt Bird. So whoever they're going to put in charge is going to be someone who can cop the hits. And in that Canterbury position and with Gus there, you're a target, as Trent Barrett found out. So it's going to be someone who's going to be really tough,
Yeah, I wonder who it's going to be, Denny, because when you look at, if he wants experience, you look at, obviously, Green and Flanagan, they're the two that stand out. And then I heard people say, well, why don't you go and target someone that's already at a club? But when you look at the options available, you sort of go through them all. Bellamy's unavailable. Desi's been there before. Cleary's at Penrith. You've got Toddy Payton, who's only into his second year. Kevy's up there at the Broncos. Holbrook's inexperienced. You know, Brownie's at the Warriors. O'Brien's under pressure at the Newcastle Knights. Jason Demetriou's, you know, struggling at South at the moment.
Is there a coach that's okay?
You've got Fitzy who's just gone to the Sharks. You've got Robinson at the Roosters who's there for another 10 years. You've got Griffin who's at the Dragons, but he's not going to go there because Gus sacked him at Penrith. There's not many options there at other clubs.
I reckon Gus would be sitting there doing that exact thing. Look, he'd have a far greater insight than I would, but he'd be sitting there looking at his options, thinking maybe there's not an answer. You know, what's the answer here? You know, I don't think he wants to throw Serraldo into the mix at this point. You know, I mean, that's why people keep coming back to Shane Flanagan and Paul Green.
Can I ask you something, Denny? And it touched on me last week when I heard you say this. When you asked me about Ricky, do you think that'd be a serious play? Because I could imagine the Raiders wanting to keep him, but I'm just, when you said that the other day, I sort of laughed. And now I just thought of it again there. There's not too many experienced coaches that could roll with the punches and sort of, and they've got a great relationship. And I hope that doesn't happen. I hope he stays at the Raiders. But when you said that last week, my ears pricked a little bit.
Yeah. Well, look, his name and Madge's name have both come up, right? With Ricky, I wanted to make sure where that whole situation was. So I've been asking the Raiders and asking Ricky. Now, Ricky has got the highest regard for Gus, and there is no question that they could work together. However, the Raiders, they would like Ricky to stay. He's got a contract which runs out at the end of next year. They want Ricky to start talking about a new deal, which probably, he won't be minding me saying this, but he's pretty old now. So it could be his last deal that he signed. So the Raiders want that to start happening. Ricky, on the other hand, I don't think he's keen to talk contracts at the moment. I think his focus is purely on getting the Canberra club back to a position where he's happy. They've been good in the last few weeks, as you know. But he wants consistency, and he wants that team to again build into a team that can challenge. I think we acknowledge that they're not a title contender in the immediate future. So his job is to get them back in that position and get them to where they were a couple of years ago. So, and look, Ricky does have his critics, as you know, Laurie, and you've defended him for a long time. But the Raiders are of the view that they want, they would like to start talking to him about a new contract. Ricky at the moment is happy just to keep on rolling. And look, the beauty of the Canberra club compared to the Bulldogs, this is where the Bulldogs issue is this: the Bulldogs have got a slightly difficult situation with their board, where it's always under pressure, it's always changing, where there's elections. The Raiders, where Ricky is quite settled, have a very solid board. He knows them personally. There is a strong level of support there. It's not an unstable situation. So, Laurie, I don't think Ricky would be considering the Bulldogs, largely because he's loyal to the Raiders. Plus, why would you walk into that slightly manic situation where the board is always fighting for its life?
Yeah, no, I hope he stays at the Raiders, but I'm just trying to work out, of the current coaches who Gus could target, and then if there's none of them there that he wants or wants to get involved, like the only two that sort of spring to mind are your Flanagans and your Paul Greens.
Yeah. And look, I, both of those. Flanagan is a very successful, hard-nosed coach. I do think there are still things that could stand in his way from being at the Bulldogs. And Green didn't end with the Cowboys in the way that a lot of people would like to have ended their time there. And so that may count against him. I don't think there's been any discussions at this stage with Paul Green.
What about Origin selection, mate? Round the corner, Loz picked his team today, or his squad today. Who are your centres and who's your number 14?
Look, I think the centres, that's part of the issue. I'd probably have Crichton and Stags, just, you know, at this stage, they're the ones that appeal to me. However, I was on the 100% footy last night, and Darren Lockyer and Paul Gallen had teams up there. And I'm really worried about the strength of the Queensland forwards. I think they look good, and I'm a little bit concerned about some of our New South Wales forwards being short on form, and I also have concerns about losing absolute strike weapons in Tommy Turbo, and also Latrell. I mean, like, I really think it's a very even contest this time around. I mean, it's a long way from when we were saying, or when some people were saying, how bad Queensland were. I think they've got a very good pack, and they've got plenty of strike in their back. So I'm a bit worried.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I reckon Queensland's forwards look absolutely, I think it's their
best
superb
squad they've had in a couple of years.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, mate, it's a long way from the worst Queensland team in history, isn't it?
Yeah. But you're right. When you go through their forward pack, like Papali's hit form, Fasua Mawali will be there. He's as good as any sort of front rower in the business. You've got
Harry Grant.
Yeah, and you've got those young Broncos players as well that are playing.
And the Cowboys.
Well. And the Cowboys, yeah. Nenai. And
Flegler's.
Did they have Nenai on their team last night on 100% footy?
I think Gal picked the Queensland team and Lockie picked the New South Wales team. They flipped it around. And gotcha. From memory, Gal initially had Nenai and then took him out for Flegler because he forgot about Flegler. But, but that, mate, when you're not putting someone like him in, you're picking a pretty decent side, aren't you? I worry about the form of the New South Wales forwards. I've got real concerns about, you know, obviously fitness there and form. And I think privately, I reckon the Blues would be concerned about that.
Denny, you know how our listeners are very, very smart.
Yes.
This one's come in from Mitch from Robinson. With Michael Hagan, would he be open to the Dogs job? Am I right in saying that he's up at the Cowboys with Todd Payton, been around, successful Queensland side, coached Newcastle as well, plenty of experience there. Is that an option?
That's a good
Mitch
thought,
from
isn't
Robinson.
It? Yeah.
And I saw Hague's in the coach's box the other night. Is he an assistant up there now?
I don't know. I'd have to look into that. But with Michael Hagan, I had a bit to do with him, obviously, as a club coach, but also I went on the tour with the Kangaroos a couple of years back, and where he's got a very big role with Mal.
Yes.
He's someone who, like when you talk about Tim Sheens knowing a lot about football and you listen to them and you learn, Michael Hagan is in that same category. He's fantastic to talk to about football, and he talks about it in a language that everybody can understand. Mm-hmm. And he's got that history there, doesn't he?
So, yeah, that might be worthwhile following up.
Not a bad thought. I'll after this, if the great Augustus will take my call, and if he's not too unwell because he's been crook, I'll put that on him, and I'm sure he'll give me a short, sharp answer like he normally does.
Denny, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Denny Widler there from the Nine Network. By the way, I saw yesterday, Loz, some of the great vision from, I think it was on the Footy Show back in the day, yep. You remember it, when you were assistant, was it at New South Wales?
Yeah.
And Nathan Brown was trainer.
Yep.
And Brown's walking around the field behind the players, walkers on, comes off, and you go, did you tell him walkers on? Outstanding.
Just passing on messages, Peter. Yeah. That's what my role was.
And I'm guessing it was Chris Walker.
Chris Walker, yeah, very dangerous.
Yeah, right, okay.
Very dangerous because he used to use his speed around the middle.
Mm.
So it was more about reminding the tights, the forwards, that when he's on, if he's around the ball, just be wary where he was. And the fullback, I think it might have been Hodgio at the time.
Yeah.
Was he the fullback? Just identifying where he was and to make everyone aware.
Mm.
Mm.
The glory days.
Following instructions, you know. I'd rather that one than the seat.
Yeah, the seat's not the greatest vision, is it?
No.
Why don't you just shunt Gus off and go,
couldn't really do anything. Like,
I see.
You couldn't really do anything, though, could you? Even if it was anybody, you wouldn't. Mate. You just would have done what you did, I reckon.
Yeah, even if it wasn't Gus, no, you couldn't sort of say, mate,
give him my seat back.
No. Ouching.
Unless it was the rookie. Unless it was the rookie.
How arrogant would that have been?
It was the youngster.
Just who they are. Up you get, pal.
Champ. Up you get, champ.
This morning in the French Open, Rafael Nadal beat Aussie Jordan Thompson in straight sets. Alia Tomjanovic, she beat the fifth seed in straight sets. And Novak Djokovic has beat his Japanese opponent, Nishioka, in straight sets as well. Now, yesterday in the golf, American Justin Thomas won his second major title. He also won the 2017 PGA Championship. Well, he won that tournament again yesterday. He beat Will Zalatoris by one stroke in a three-hole aggregate playoff after, well, Thomas started the final round seven shots off the pace. And Mito Pereira, who the Chilean who led by three shots and who double bogeyed the last to ensure that he finished third and missed out on a playoff, well, he's receiving a lot of praise because he fronted up and agreed to every media request after what would have been a shattering experience for him. I saw some people comparing it to the infamous John Vanderveld meltdown at the British Open in the late 90s, but Mito Pereira there yesterday, it was hard to watch as he double bogeyed the last to relinquish top spot in the tournament, not even make the playoffs, but showed a lot of class after that yesterday. Give us a call, 1353 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272. We've got James on the line. Morning, James.
G'day, how you going? Just to let you know, Ken Irvine and Reg Gaznia played baseball together for New South Wales, I think when they were about 15.
Did they?
And Reg also played cricket for St. George, Clarkie.
There you go.
And Chappelli and Alan Border, I'm sure, played senior baseball as well.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I knew Chappelli did.
NAB.
Clarkie. Graham Hughes, he played Canterbury league player. He also played grade cricket.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a good first grade. No, he played for New South Wales too, I think, James, didn't he?
It wouldn't surprise me for sure. And, you know, he was playing a grade while he's also playing, you know, first grade for Canterbury.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
John Gray, a very good cricketer.
Johnny Gray. Jeez, you're bringing back memories now.
Another one. Mark Harris, when he played for North. He played local cricket, I believe.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a few.
I've just Googled Graham Hughes.
One for you. Yeah. Bradman lived in East Crescent Street at the Point.
At the Point?
East Crescent Street. Don Bradman?
Yeah.
When he was playing for North, lived down in
Okay. Yep.
You got me?
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Leave it with you.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Good on you, James.
Well,
Graham Hughes played 21st class games, and he also played for New South Wales. Between 75, 76, 78, 79 seasons.
That era, you had so many people play. You could play cross codes, couldn't you? You could play footy in the winter, cricket in the summer. Bring that back.
How many times did you meet Bradman?
Never met Sir Donald
Bradman.
Didn't you? Never.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately. Never met him.
So you might have at the cricket academy at some point or...
No. You know, the other one that I devastated I never got to meet was Kerry Packer. As well. Kerry obviously changed our game forever. But those two, Sir Donald Bradman and Kerry Packer, if you could go to dinner with anyone you'd like, past or present, I would love to have dinner with those two.
Clive Lloyd, Viv Richards?
Yep. Met Clive plenty of times, Viv plenty of times. Yep.
Who else were some of the legends around that time, Mitter?
Joel Garner.
Yeah. DK.
DK, you know DK, great fella. DK was at the academy when I was there, helping all the fast bowlers.
Kapil Dev,
yep. I commentated with him in India a few times.
Jeffrey Boycott.
Is he sour? What you see is what you get with Jeffrey Boycott. He thought his style of play was the right style of play.
Right.
And it probably was at that time for England. He was very hard to get out, but these days, modern cricketer would say quite boring. He's quite hard. He's opinionated and he's very stern.
I don't mind people being opinionated, but it always seems to be just one way.
Yeah, negative.
Negative. There's not many positives that come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Thanks,
everyone's cup of tea, I suppose, or other people's cup of tea.
Thanks for the call, James. We've got Greg on the line. G'day, Greg.
Hey, boys, how you going?
Mate, we're good. You?
Can't complain. I agree with Danny Wilder about Mick Hagan coaching the Doggies. I think that might be a good option for us.
Well, it was Mitch from Robertson, wasn't it?
Mitch Loss? From Robbo. He texted in just asking whether he'd be a good fit.
I think Michael Hagan would be a great fit because being an old dog, he's a great fit and a good coach.
Yeah, well, he's helping out Mal with the Australian side, or has been up until COVID because they haven't played since then. But, you know, and I saw him in the box the other night in Townsville. And I don't know whether he's an assistant up there or a consultant or whether he's just sitting in the box to get the feel of it because he'd been out for so long and, you know, has coached with Mal for a while. But I just noticed him there the other day. But he's a bulldog. He's won a comp. He's an experienced coach. He's a good mentor. He's got the personality to roll with the punches somewhat and take a bit of time to build. It wouldn't be a bad call. There you go. Wouldn't be a bad call at all.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Personally, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, you look at some of the other... And we can only go on Gus saying that he wants an experienced coach. And the two that obviously come to mind are Green and Flanagan, but they seem reluctant to give those guys the job. And then you look at current coaches. There's not too many available that would fit the bill for the Bulldogs. But then you think outside the square and Hagan name, when you more you think about it, the more it sort of starts to make a bit of sense.
Yeah, so yeah. So Todd Payton tried to get him on a year ago as an assistant full-time. Instead, he took a mentoring role.
Right.
With the Cowboys. So just sort of, like a consultant, I guess you'd say, Loz. Rather, probably didn't want the full-time
role.
Due to his other roles, which he's obviously immersed in with the Kangaroos and the Queensland setup. So he's taken a mentoring role there at the Cowboys. So there you go, Greg.
Well, another thing, I reckon that West Tigers will probably sign Madge back. I reckon that's a chance.
Well, Madge is already signed.
Yeah, but I think they might lengthen his contract.
Yeah, well, I know that Madge has still got another year to go there at the end of this season. So that they mightn't be in a rush to re-sign him. Or they might. They might think that, you know, he's the guy that will give him another 2 years. But I think at the moment with Madge, it's just sit back and wait and see. And, you know, but if Gus has got a massive opinion of him and, you know, Madge thinks that his time at the Tigers is up and wants to move to the Bulldogs, that could be an option for him.
Well, geez, you'd have to have a bloody... really, you go from one train wreck to another. I don't know if I can handle it, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these coaches, when they sign up, they know what they're getting themselves in for. Unfortunately, it's a business that's ruthless at times.
Yeah.
Good on you,
boys. Cheers. Have a good day.
Good on you, Greg. Thanks for the call. Also, this story, just switching to a bit of motorsport, the Supercars chief executive, Shane Howard's, told News Corp if the opportunity arises, they'd love to have Daniel Ricciardo in the category. That'd be a substantial pay cut for Ricciardo, but the rumours continue to abound that Daniel Ricciardo's current contract with McLaren might be his last in Formula One. He's on contract next year. He's got one top 10 finish so far this season. Lando Norris finished ahead of him in Spain just on the weekend gone, despite having tonsillitis, by the way. Monaco Grand Prix this weekend. Which he has won before when he was with Red Bull, of course. Yes, we'd love to see Daniel Ricciardo here in supercars, but would Daniel Ricciardo go from what?
No.
However many million a year to what? One million in supercars?
Not yet, he won't. There'll be other opportunities for him as well. He could drive
maybe not in Formula One, though.
Probably not Formula One, no. No, this might be his last opportunity in regards to a Formula One contract, but there's still... He'll have plenty of opportunities. I don't think he'd move back here to do that now at this age as well.
By the way, we're talking about bad beats on the punt earlier. Drake, as in the Canadian.
The Drake. Yep.
The rapper. Is he a rapper?
Yeah, yep. Had 320,000 thereabouts Australian.
Yep.
On Charles Leclerc to win the.
Nothing to him.
Spanish Grand Prix on the weekend.
Yep.
According to reports, OS. and Leclerc was leading and then had engine failure.
Might matter to Drake.
Yeah,
300 grand to him.
Just a penny in the console.
In the console. Yep. Change. He's got that in coins. Plenty, those blokes.
Mm.
And ladies, singers, Beyonce. Imagine her cash. Jay-Z. Snoop Dogg.
Is Usain Bolt bought out another album yet?
I hope not. He's probably done a few film clips, though. Just haven't been filmed. A few house parties in the backyard with Gailey.
Oh.
I reckon that's why he did it. He just wanted to host a party and said, just film it and we'll call it a film clip. Just the Chris Gayle, Usain Bolt backyard party in Jamaica.
Is he still on the cricket 2020 Gailey? Scene, Chris Gayle?
Yeah, I don't know if he's in this year's. Oh, no, I think he was over there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Just turned up.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing. I think he was in a team, but probably not in their starting lineup.
Right.
I saw Kieran Pollard just retired from international cricket as well a month ago or so. So he was West Indian short form captain. So he stood down. So he's just playing the 2020 junket as well. There's a bit happening in cricket around the world at the moment. Still waiting to hear Aussie female women's team coach. Still hoping I hear Ben Sawyer's name read out. I think Benny would be unreal. And he's coached the Sydney Sixers for a long time. They had a lot of success. He stood down from that role. Charlotte Edwards, ex-England captain, she's now the Sixers coach. So I know Benny's been assistant coach to Matthew Mott last couple of years. I reckon it's the right time. Give him a crack. Wonderful guy, good coach, good knowledge, and the girls love him. So I'm hoping in the coming days we hear that he gets appointed female coach, women's coach.
Just some bad news with the Swans yesterday I wanted to mention as well. Josh Kennedy, champion midfielder, he's out for at least 2 months. Tendon damage to the hamstring. So 34 years of age. They do get James Rowbottom back. They play, he's been suspended. They play Richmond Friday night at the SCG. And just in the last month, they've gone from $8 to win the flag to $16. But Josh Kennedy, yes, 34, but still plays an enormous part for the Swans. And just to have his leadership around that group and to not have him for now, the bulk of the home and away season, it's going to be tough for Josh to get back into sort of, you know, the form we need him to be at heading towards the finals.
Yeah, and the older you get, the harder and the longer it takes to recover from injuries. And I'm sure he's doing everything in his power to get back there. You would think that the Swans will play finals football. And you can, you know, you need some experience when you start to get there at the back end of the season. But he's 34 next month. He's, what, played 289 games or something like that. And his leadership is invaluable to the Swannies. But, you know, if there's a player to get back and put himself and make himself available for the Swans during the finals, it'll be Josh Kennedy. And I think he's one of those players that, you know, everyone sort of looks up to and aspires to be because he's very courageous, very talented. And while he's coming to the end of his career, he's someone that's still got a huge amount of respect within the playing group.
And just this text, you went to school with Pat Richards, didn't you?
I did. Yep.
Played first grade with Fairfield Cricket Club.
True.
Says KB at Newcastle.
Very good cricketer.
Who was that, sorry?
Pat Richards.
Patty Richards, yeah. Yeah.
Very good cricketer. All-rounder. Smack it with the bat. Again, if he
tall,
played
isn't
now.
He?
Yeah, Patty's massive, big boy. If he played now, he would have been very good at 2020. Bat, bowl, field, athletic, fit, and smacked it. Great fella, Patty.
Dave Stanley's next. Stanley, morning to you.
Good morning, Middo. Good morning, gents. How are we on this beautiful Tuesday?
We are superb. Hey, mate, I saw you put on social media yesterday a horse that... well, tell us about it. It was to do with the money raised was from the floods last year, right?
You guys were there. Remember last year, we were in Muswellbrook, so we were there this year, obviously, but last year, the terrible flooding event which hit Taree, Port Macquarie and that sort of mid-north coast area. And if you guys recall, it was something that literally we created on the Thursday evening. I know that, Pup, you jumped on board with some bats and jerseys. Loz, you produced a New South Wales Blues jersey. And we basically put it out there for people that wanted to create auction items to raise some money and get some hay. I know that the area of Moree as well was badly affected, and we raised a lot of money. It was over $25,000. What we found, though, Middo, on that particular auction was we had a number of trainers sort of ring up and say, yep, well, I've got this particular horse and I will donate 5% for you to auction off. Well, one of those horses was a horse trained by Tracy Bartley, and it's the old saying, good things happen to good people. Well, these guys, at that auction after the Calcutta, they dug deep, they bought a 5% share, and Marilla won on debut. The silver goblet there, already picked up $12,000 as owners, and it was a good little win too, and Tracy reckons that it'll win more. So, yeah, good news story that was that came through yesterday from Tracy Bartley, and let's hope we don't have to have any more of those charity auctions, because it's not great when things are happening like that in the world. Let's hope we can get through a year without any terrible natural disaster happening in New South Wales.
No, well said, Dave, and that is a good little news story. And we haven't seen you since Friday, the charity golf day for the New South Wales Trainers Association. Outstanding conditions, weren't they?
Ah, I tell you what, needed a boat. Needed a boat. I was almost going to get Pup to come around the headland and pick us up. I'm unbelievable. And you know what, boys? You look at the radar, as we did throughout the morning, and it was just like... It was just over Little Bay. There was, you drive, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes up the road, and there was a little bit of rain, but not as heavy as it was. A shame that obviously they couldn't get on the track and play some golf, but from all reports, you guys still enjoyed your Friday, which was good. And as did, I think, a lot of people that were there. They had a nice little meal at St. Michael's. Fellas, we've got to try and back a winner today. We're going to chat this morning with Mitch Beer, who had a day out yesterday at Albury, won the last with Nemeth at Rose Hill. So the stable's flying. Richard Callan is going to join us. And then with Hawkesbury today as our New South Walesman, and with Luke Price, Anthony Cummings, Blake Ryan, and we will also check in with Tracy Bartley as well to see how his stable runners are going to go for the week ahead. So we count down towards another meeting on Saturday. But this time we're back, though, at Randwick. And let's hope, we obviously had a lot of rain around Sydney yesterday, but hopefully we get a not too bad today. Canterbury, of course, tomorrow. And we've got Bathurst, Gosford, Goulburn, Inverell leading to the weekend, boys.
Beautiful. And Blake Ryan had his first City winner the other day as well, didn't he?
Yeah, very exciting. And I'll chat with Blake today because that stable out there at Hawkesbury, he's sort of just slowly building, and he's obviously got a big monkey off the back in regards to that first City winner, and it was a good win too from Momac, and good to see Keegan Latham get a win as well. I know Keegan, we've seen a lot of the provincials, Meadow doing a lot of base work there, wants to get into the City more, and getting winners is only going to attract more attention, mate.
Loz picked his Origin team this morning. Pretty happy with it.
Were they into you, Loz?
Oh, as always, Dave, but you expect nothing.
Why were they into you? What's your most controversial inclusion?
The bench. Number 14.
You picked his son.
Oh, you picked the son.
Yeah.
How is he this morning?
I don't know. I haven't checked in with him, but
he's playing well.
He'll be there.
Gee, they're into you. So you've got Jack in the team.
You've got Jack in there.
And why have you got Jack in the team? Just to stir him up before 9 o'clock again at 8:58?
I think he's playing tremendous football. He can cover a number of positions. He's been there and done it before.
Gives you a great Father's Day present.
Yeah.
Doesn't snore at home when he sleeps over. All that sort of stuff.
And I had a beer with him 2 weeks ago at the 43.
Outstanding. Outstanding. You know what'll happen too? Yeah. Actually, you know what, boys? There'd be no better feeling for Loz if he did get picked. But then in, you know, game 3, series on the line, Jay White just produces something out of a hat.
MVP.
Loz comes strutting in.
Drop goal, wins in the game.
Did you see that last night?
Told you so, you blokes.
Told you so, boys.
There's Loz and Mal reading out the World Cup team at the end of the year. Captain Jay White.
Jay White. Hey, boys, go and enjoy your Tuesday. It's not raining outside, so go and enjoy what's left of your Tuesday, and we'll catch you tomorrow. From 5:30, the boys will be back on the Big Sports Breakfast. Don't go anywhere. We've got the news coming up, and then we've got, as I said, a massive Racing HQ on this Tuesday. Mitch Beer, Rich Callender, Luke Price, Anthony Cummings, Blake Ryan, and Tracy Bartley all next.